And will you turn with me back to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 22. We're going to read verses 22 through 41 this morning. And as we turn to that passage, let me just remind you that King Balak of Moab has just acquired a weapon of mass destruction. So points out Old Testament scholar Ian Duguid. He has a weapon of mass destruction, and he plans to use it against his neighbor, who just happens to be the people of God encamped on the border of the Promised Land. Not a nuclear weapon, not a biological weapon, something even more powerful. He has a spiritual weapon, and his intention is to use it. Balaam the sorcerer. And Balaam is homing in on his intended target. Suspense is building, and it's at this point we pick up the word of God. Chapter 22, Numbers 22, beginning at verse 22. But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not the donkey on which you have ridden all your life until this day? Is it not my habit to treat you, is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live." Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you." So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab on the border formed by the Arnon at the extremity of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak." Then Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent for Balaam and for the princes who were with him. And in the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to Bamoth Beel. And from there, he saw a fraction of the people. That's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are reminded very vividly that you have the power to open eyes, that you speak with power. And so, our Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we might discern the truth of your word. We ask for the help of your Holy Spirit, that he would enable us to do that. And we ask that our hearts might be made glad as we see and recognize the Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Balaam had a marketable skill, and he knew how to use it. It was said that he had the power to speak and that what he said would come true. He had the power, particularly, this was what caught the attention of King Balak. He had the power to pronounce a curse, and Balak had good reason to believe that so powerful were the words of Balaam that that curse would come to pass. And now Balak has hired Balaam. He's ready to pay a lot of money in order to have Balaam's services. And of course, it's at that very point that the Apostle Peter puts his finger on the problem with which Balaam is grappling. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Balaam, the son of Beor, loved gain from wrongdoing. He loved gain from wrongdoing. He had no conscience. He had no scruple. He was ready to sell his gift to the highest bidder. His words were as good as money in the bank. And in our verses this morning, Balaam discovers that Balak does not have the power or the money to purchase that power, nor does Balaam himself have command over that kind of power. The gift of words is owned and controlled by the Lord himself. And in our verses this morning, we discover that being repeated in different ways. We're going to meet a number of characters who speak rather dramatically in verses 22 through 30. We're going to consider what the donkey said. And then in verses 31 through 35, we'll think a little bit about what the angel said. And verses 36 through 41, we'll think about what the prophet had to say. So we want to give ear to three speakers this morning. And the first of those speakers, remarkably, is the donkey. This donkey has a lot to answer for. She has a lot to give account for. And guess what? She does. She's able to explain her strange behavior, the refusal to go forward. And she's able to speak up and explain what's going on because she was aware that there was a hazard in the road up ahead. What kind of hazard, you might wonder? You think of the hazards that sometimes make driving particularly dangerous, round the corner perhaps, the downed power lines, the standing water, the sinkhole. There's something even more hazardous, even more dangerous up ahead on the road in front of Balaam. And we discover that in verse 23, the angel of the Lord stood on the road with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey knew it. The donkey knew it, and three times the donkey took evasive action. And the first time she swerved off the road, and Balaam was very annoyed. The second time she took some avoiding, she made an evasive maneuver, and Balaam's foot was squished against the wall, and he was even more annoyed. He beat her a second time. And the third time, now the road is getting really, really narrow. We have roads like this in Ireland where the hedges are kind of touching either side of the car. It was a road like that. We don't have vineyards in Ireland, but we have narrow roads, and the road is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And now that angel is standing astride the road. There is nowhere to turn. There is nowhere to go. And the donkey sits down. She flops down on the road. And Balaam is seriously mad. Because it's not just that that would have been an irritating thing to happen in any circumstances. You know how frustrating it is when your car breaks down and just won't budge. The problem is there's been a threefold difficulty here. And yes, not just Balaam's servants are watching, but the noble and distinguished retinue that King Balak has sent to escort him to Moab, they're watching as well. And Balaam is mad. He says, if I had my sword, I would have killed you, because three times you have met a fool of me. You've met a fool of me three times over. And it's at that point the donkey speaks up. It's at that point the donkey speaks up, and the donkey says, could you not, do you not see it? Do you not see what's up ahead on the road? Could you not read the body language? Balaam, you great sorcerer, you who are able to command such high price for your services, are you so oblivious as to fail to see the angel of the Lord standing in front of you with a drawn sword in his hand? The donkey speaks with a tone of incredulity and astonishment. Do you not see the danger that confronts you? And of course, at that point, Balaam has not perceived the danger that's in front of him. Balaam is constrained by his love for the prophet that's P-R-O-F-I-T, that his gift is going to accrue for him. He is motivated, he's constrained, he's driven forward by that. And as Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end are the ways of death. And Balaam is going headlong down that way, propelled by his desire for gain, propelled by his love for wealth and riches. And he is unaware of the spiritual danger that confronts him. Oh yes, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things are foolishness to those who are perishing. The eyes of those who are perishing are blind, because such things as these are spiritually discerned. It's easy for us, left to our natural selves, to be propelled, to be constrained by any of the idols or any of the lusts that constrain and propel us. But we need to be warned that though the road ahead might seem to be clear and broad, nevertheless, the ways that seem right to a man are ways that lead to destruction. The donkey perceived that. And the donkey, with incredulity, says, Balaam, you paragon of spiritual insight, do you not even see that? Remember, maybe the same note of incredulity in the voice of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 3, speaking with someone who was a teacher in Israel, someone who knew a lot about spiritual things. And as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, Jesus said to him, how is it that you, a teacher in Israel, do not understand these things? And then, of course, Jesus' words to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is as we are born again that our eyes are opened to spiritual reality. The Lord Jesus comes to us as the great prophet. And you remember how Jesus goes on to say to Nicodemus, you speak of the things with which you're familiar, but we are able to speak of heavenly things because we have seen them. The Lord Jesus comes to us as the one who not only makes clear spiritual truths, but who opens eyes to see spiritual truths. And the donkey spoke. And you think, how in the world did the donkey speak? That question came to your mind, didn't it? How in the world did the donkey speak? And, you know, did she have an accent? And just all the questions that come to mind when you hear that a donkey spoke. And the Bible doesn't go into all of that. The Bible tells us the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. The Lord did it. And, you know, that's amazing. That's a an amazing thing that the Lord could have opened the mouth of the donkey. And then we realize that's something the Lord does. In Ezekiel, a couple of places, Ezekiel acknowledges how the Lord opened the mouth of the prophet. Ezekiel 3:27, Ezekiel 33:22. The Lord opened the mouth of the prophet. God opens the mouths of individuals. No prophet, says Peter in those words that we read earlier, no prophet makes it up. True prophets don't make it up. True prophets are constrained by God. And yes, there's much scholarly speculation. How does that work? And at the end of the day, it is the glorious mystery of a God who is able to open mouths of prophets so that the truth, the words that they speak, is the very truth of God. And the donkey spoke, and it was absolutely riveting for Balaam. It was, just imagine how amazing that was, that the donkey spoke. And yet, we are in the presence of a God who is able to communicate through the mouths of his prophets. And yes, who has communicated, especially and particularly through the Lord Jesus. You remember how his hearers said, "No one has ever spoken like this man." They were astonished. And of course, the Lord Jesus, who is the great prophet, who by his word and spirit makes known to us the will of God for our salvation. The Lord Jesus tells us that the words that he speaks are not his own. They're the words given to him by the Father, that we might have confidence in the truth communicated to us. And then Balaam's eyes are opened, and he sees the angel. And so we want to hear from that angel. Now, verses 31 through 35, the Lord who opened the mouth of the donkey opens the eyes of Balaam. Okay, so we've got rather a lot of miracles going on here. There's a lot of supernatural activity taking place in these verses. We're having mute lips given the power of speech. We have blind eyes given the power of sight. And yes, we start to recognize that here we are on holy ground. Here is God at work. The prophet Isaiah, looking ahead to the work of the coming Messiah. You'll think of Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah speaks of the kinds of things the Messiah will do. What will he do? He will open the eyes of the blind. He will open the mouths of those who are dumb and enable those who are mute to sing, to acknowledge who he is, to testify that he is God. The kinds of things that when John's messengers came to Jesus of Nazareth and said, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're to expect? And Jesus said, well, just have a look. Have a look. See what's going on, and then go back and tell John what you see. Jesus, the Messiah, the one who opens eyes, the one who opens mouths, and now the seer. Yep, you remember how Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9 tells us that back in these times, prophets were called seers. Why were they called seers? They were called seers because they could see things that other people couldn't see. And here's Balaam, who's blind, but now God opens his eyes. The true prophet, you see, the true prophet is someone in whom God is at work. That power comes from God. It's the power of God. And the angel speaks, and the angel has words of warning for Balaam. You're on a path that leads to death. You're on a path that leads to destruction. Had you proceeded, I would have killed you. The Proverbs again, that road that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. The prophet who is impelled by his love of the, well, we could we could kind of paraphrase Peter using the words of Paul, couldn't we? He loved the wages of his sin, and the wages of sin are death. And now Balaam is brought face to face with the reality that confronts him. A speechless donkey, says Peter in 2 Peter 2, verse 16, a speechless donkey restrained the prophet's madness. Isn't that amazing? A speechless donkey, and who was given the power of speech, restrained the prophet's madness. She was smarter than he was. And she was a donkey with a testimony. She was a donkey with a testimony. She could say, I was going down the road, and I came to a point where I realized that that road was the way to destruction. And I stopped. I didn't go any further. I got right down. We're not told that the donkey bowed down, but it kind of sounds a little bit like the donkey prostrated herself, as Balaam is about to do. The donkey had that testimony for Balaam. And you know, learn from the donkey. You have a word of testimony. You can say, I was going down a certain road, and then I realized that that road was the road of destruction. I was pursuing a certain path, and then I realized that that path was going to put me in opposition to God. God standing as an adversary. The donkey didn't want God as an adversary. Don't have God as an adversary. Don't have God as an adversary. And you can adopt the donkey's testimony. Yes, if the Lord used the donkey's words, you can be confident that the Lord's able to use your words as well. So Balaam fell down on his face. The donkey got right down on the road, and Balaam was mad. And now Balaam understands, and Balaam is down on his face. Verse 33, he says, I've sinned. The Hebrew word that he uses there for sin, it's the idea of straying. I took a wrong turning. I took a wrong path. I have sinned. For I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Balaam seems to be getting it, but then he goes on, but if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back. Balaam's still in negotiating mode. He's still hoping that maybe those pots of gold lie in his... If it's evil in your... Is it evil in your sight? If it's evil, I'll turn back. I'll turn back. He's still in negotiating mode. He's not quite there yet. Well, he might learn from the other individual who was brought up short when he was going down the road. This time, the road to Damascus, and the voice spoke to him. Do you remember, and said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goats. The road you're going is a road that's going to bring pain and tragedy. And as Paul gives his testimony in Acts chapter 26, he tells us in verse 19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul's response, when Paul was brought up short on his road, when Paul realized that the road that he was on was a road leading to destruction, when he recognized that he stood in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus, he says, I was not disobedient. I stopped kicking against the goats. I stopped the rebelliousness that had characterized my life, my attitude, the ways, the aspirations that Saul of Tarsus had, the path to ever-increasing celebrity that he was on, and now these things, for the sake of Christ, he counts these things as refuse. Now he's not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now he acknowledges Jesus as Lord. And Balaam's given his marching orders. Verse 35, the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you. And so Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. He's continuing down the road. And yes, This is written so that the suspense, the tension is mounting. What's going to happen? And we're told that when Balaam met Balak, there was just a little bit of awkwardness in their meeting. Verse 37, Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send for you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Why the delay? What took you so long? Am I not able to honor you? Balaam, this is not the kind of service that I expect for the money I'm prepared to pay. I'm paying for more than this. What took you so long? Why did you not get here sooner?" And of course, you see, the unspoken is very much, you know, I own you, Balaam. I own you. I have you in my pocket, and I'm expecting value for my money. Oh yes, he's pressing Balaam's buttons because Balaam loved gain. That's what Peter tells us. Look at, and you know, we can identify, can't we, with the struggle against the things that we love in place of the Lord Jesus, the things that impede our obedience, the things that we have to battle with in order to push through, to walk the path of discipleship. And here Balaam's conflicted heart is struggling again because Balaam loved gain. And there's so much money at stake. And there's the tension because there are God's people. What's going to happen to God's people? Is the weapon of mass destruction going to be disarmed? Or will God's people be visited by an awful, destructive curse? And Balaam, verse 38, said to Balak, Behold, I have come to you. I'm here now. Have I any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." And we breathe a sigh of relief. We breathe a big sigh of relief at that point, don't we? Because Balaam says, I'm going to speak what God puts in my mouth. Balaam, and we sense the struggle, the internal struggle, but Balaam senses himself to be a man under constraint. And we get more nervous. It's the doomsday clock. You see the doomsday clock, and Balaam is getting closer to Moab, and we're kind of the hand of the doomsday clock is coming closer to midnight, and you know, then Balaam shows up and says, "I'm only going to speak what the Lord says," and it's kind of the hand drops back a few minutes, and we breathe a sigh of relief, and then. This is a roller coaster because verse 41, verse 41, "In the morning Balak took Balaam and brought him up to Bamoth Baal, to the high places of Baal," that's what the Hebrew means, "and there he saw a fraction of the people," and now the clock hand is ticking, the doomsday clock is ticking back to midnight, because there are the people of God, stretched out, just a portion of them, and there they are. Seemingly helpless, seemingly oblivious, seemingly unaware of the threat that hangs over their heads. And yes, we're nervous that Balaam is continuing this dialogue with Balak, and now we're concerned. Yes, he's up in the high places of Baal. That doesn't sound very promising. And we are in suspense. What's this prophet going to do? And were we relying on someone like Balaam, we would be very, very unsettled indeed. But our confidence is in a greater prophet than Balaam. A prophet who, when he was taken up on a high place by a tempter, not Balaam this time, not Balak this time, but Satan himself, prophet taken up in a high place and shown the glory of the kingdoms of this world. There they are, the kingdoms of the world spread out. And Satan speaking to Jesus and saying, "I'll give you all of this. I'll put them under your power if you will but bow down and worship me." It carries us really to the beginning of the book of Romans, where Paul speaks of the great mass of humanity. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None is righteous. We all stand under God's curse. We all stand under threat of death, mass destruction, because our first father, Adam, sinned and fell into sin, and we have fallen with him. The Lord Jesus on that high place, the Lord Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord and serve him alone." And Jesus, our great prophet, spoke the word of God, and the tempter abandoned his task and left him. And Paul says, having reflected on the great mass of humanity that stood under a curse of a just and righteous God, Paul says, look at Jesus, the one who was lifted up on a cross for our trespasses, the one who is raised up for our justification, the end of Romans chapter 4. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus speaks to those who trust in him. And the Lord Jesus says, peace. That's a powerful word spoken by the great prophet. In the Lord Jesus, we have peace with God. The curse is lifted. It's replaced with blessing. Paul celebrates the grace in which we now stand. Have you heard the Lord Jesus' powerful word of peace that speaks peace to our hearts and assures us that all is right between us and God? No longer is God our adversary. The Lord Jesus is our advocate. He speaks powerfully on our behalf, and the Heavenly Father receives us as his own beloved children, and we have peace with God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the powerful words with which the Lord Jesus addresses us. We thank you that he speaks to us words of life. I pray that we would hear those words, that we would respond to them with faith and with joy, and that we would know peace in our hearts because Jesus has pronounced his word of peace over us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.